This is Mark Giacoma, and you're listening to Walnut Grove Cast. I am speaking with Susan King. How are you, Susan King?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing all right.
Yay.
Actually, we're supposed to get a nor'easter here in New York.
Oh, wow.
That's no big deal, though. And, I mean, when I was a kid, we got nor'easters, and they weren't really much of a big deal. Now they're a big deal. Now it's kind of like batten down the hatches. And I actually have hatches on my house.
Well,
they're decorative.
And you should.
They're decorative hatches.
And you should. And you know I'm an expert on this particular episode because I live in Houston where the whole city shuts down if we have a credit card's thickness of ice on the roads. So,
but do you have hatches?
Yeah.
I think more houses should have hatches. I mean, they had them in the school. You know what? Well, I'm getting ahead of ours.
Yeah.
We will be discussing one of the stranger said episodes. And I say strange said episode because I feel like a lot was left on the back burner on this. I feel like there's a lot of incomplete stuff going on here.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about that. I feel like this was an episode they didn't really think through.
I agree.
Visually, a lot of things, you know.
Lots.
And the blizzard, or blizzard, which, what date did you find it?
That this is season 3, episode 11. And I found two different dates, December 27th of 76 and January 3rd of 77. So I'm not sure. I went IMDb. I mean, I did the traditional searching and came up with a couple of different ones. So
you know, sometimes in the winter, I'm wondering if it's possible, or even during holiday seasons, I'm not going to say it happens too much now, but back then they would repeat an episode just because...
Right.
You know, people clearly, they'd have VCRs and all that kind of good stuff. And so I wonder if they just repeated it, thinking like, hey, why waste a new episode when nobody even saw the last episode?
Well, there you go. And as we've discussed before, of course, I believe everything on the internet. It is strange to me that because usually whomever it is that puts all this information together is pretty clear cut and dry. So I just found it strange that there was a couple of dates, different dates for the same episode.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if maybe there's a West Coast, East Coast, who knows?
Who knows?
But it's Blizzard, and from what I remember, I haven't seen this episode in a really long time, and I'm watching it, and I kind of expected there to be more of a casualty count. I kind of remember there being more dead people.
I see dead people.
And I do recall, and I think I'm mishmashing different episodes, I remember people being more mad at...
Miss Beetle?
Miss Beetle. And you know, she's just sitting at her desk. She has the nerve to sit at her desk. Well, you know what? Let's go into the story a little bit. Go to our first clip. Let's see. By the way, I want to also mention our numbers are dramatically up for this.
Yay!
Thing, you know, we're reaching about for each episode around 15,000 listeners.
That's fantastic.
I get a decent amount of letters saying you're an idiot, not you but me. Or I get the regular amount of hate mail, which shows for a healthy podcast.
Well, there you go.
But we've definitely fallen off, or rather I've fallen off the world since the new year, so we're going to try to catch up. There's also still quite a few episodes in the can that need to be released. So.
Right.
This episode's going to be released almost immediately. So if you're listening to this, you can expect more episodes to come out throughout March, where we probably talk about how warm it is out or something.
This is our first official episode of 2018.
First actually, recording,
recording. Yes, first recording.
Did you say 2015 or 18?
No, 2018.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was having a...
I'm old, that my menopausal brain's not that bad.
18,
I know we're in 2018. I haven't had a stroke.
I'm aware of the century. Yeah. So back in these days, you might remember this when you were a young girl, they had Morse code. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but actually, Morse code is still used. I took a Morse code class when I wanted to get my ham license. I have no, I cannot do it. You know, I passed the test, and it's kind of like Hebrew. You know, you learn it for the moment, and then it goes away.
Right. You don't use it, you lose it. I know, and I researched that all the way back to 1837. I didn't realize that it was that old.
And Morse code is, you know, it was the first way to communicate. So it's a magical little language. Yes. And it is, if you were to go to, and I could put some links to the show notes if people actually have an interest, go to these online ham radio stations. And people are playing, they're actually just talking right now through Morse code. They're also talking with the radios.
Right.
And they're playing radio stations. And you can listen to radio stations from the entire planet with this equipment, you know. It's a really fascinating type of technology.
It is. Just the, of course, I don't research telegraph history every day. And of course I did for this episode. But even though Samuel Morse, of course, was the one that invented the telegraph, from what I read, it was actually his partner, Alfred Vail, who created the alphabet for, and of course named it after his partner, Samuel Morse, for the Morse code. Nice. So he... Apparently, Mr. Vail developed what they call the register and recording, to be able to register and record and receive messages. He developed that, and he actually wrote the alphabet used for Morse code. Yeah.
I could have done that. Just some dots. Just some dashes and dots. Jeez. No, it's a phenomenal thing. And it's interesting because they do touch upon, you know, Morse code very little here. But, you know, there's a similar use of Braille later on, you know, because Mary learns Braille, and Braille, of course, was very new. But anyway, all right, enough of the history lesson. Let's get on to the fakeness of this episode. A man in his long johns that clearly got washed with a red bandana.
Right. No, I think pink long johns. I think that was a standard color of long johns. I know. I always think the same two things.
No, too. I think red bled, and I think that everything that was white would be eventually pink.
Okay.
Because Charles has a million pink shirts.
Right.
A million.
When he decides to wear one.
Yeah, exactly. But if you notice, Caroline has, you know, eggshell white shirts or blouses, but again, it's the phoniness.
We were talking about the strangeness of this episode, and this episode was actually written by Paul Cooper. This was not one that was written by Michael Landon, and apparently Mr. Cooper, regardless of the strangeness of this episode, pretty talented writer, nominated for 9 Emmys and won 6.
Right.
He wrote a lot of after school specials and stuff that he won Emmys for. So talented writer, but yeah, this episode is a little strange for a Christmas episode. It's just like a total downer.
Yeah, it's not very Christmassy at all. Although we do, I think, see Carrie's star on the top of the not decorated Christmas tree that's in the schoolhouse.
It was a penny.
Exactly. So. I'm just going to play some of the sound effects and what Morse code sounds like for this.
All righty.
Basically, he's the weather operator, or rather, he's...
he at the train station. I think he was at the train station.
At a relay station.
Yes.
Basically saying snow's coming.
Yeah. David Rose got that ominous music playing. Here it comes.
Exactly. So Charles and Isaiah pick up a bunch of really, like a large load of different you know, crated merchandise, and they're sweating. it's summer.
You're right.
They don't have coats on. Their sleeves are rolled up. They're
blizzard in Simi Valley.
Their tans are very, they're not lacking a tan. And so here they're having a conversation with, I guess the guy who's about to get the weather report from the first guy.
Yes. Receipt's right here.
Thank you.
Ah, looks like we might have a white Christmas after all.
Oh, yeah? How far off is it?
International Falls. Got a message to hold up all trains going north.
Well, it could be the Santa's reindeer got the track blocked.
Oh, boy.
Maybe. Snow's still a long way off, though. Won't know how soon it'll reach us till I hear from Thief River Falls.
When you hear from him, wish him a Merry Christmas for me. Must be pretty lonely, a man in a station like that.
Yeah.
Sure will. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
And so we get to the next shot, and they're kind of coming into town. They're delivering different items. Now, the grass is green. The leaves are on the tree.
Yes, the trees.
There is no sign of season change.
And what Charles said about Peak River Falls must be very, very true, because I could not find Peak River. Maybe it's been renamed since the 1800s, but International Falls was 371 miles from Walnut Grove.
Oh, okay.
It still exists to this day, but Peak River, couldn't find it nowhere.
Huh.
So maybe it must have been a real lonely place that they just boarded up and shut it down, because it's not on the map today.
It must have just been a relay station.
Yeah, probably.
So he's delivering different goods to the different people who where were they coming from? Sleepy Eye or Mankato? Probably Sleepy Eye.
Yeah, I think it was, Sleepy Eye, whichever one's closer. What I started giggling about is the kid that wants the gun. I thought, what a timely episode.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
This kid's wanting a gun, and Dad's just so proud that he's bought it for him.
And you can get it from a catalog and buy it through people.
Right, you can get the catalog. You can get it cheaper from a catalog. I was like, oh, I just started giggling to myself. I thought, wow, this is a timely episode, but they used it for hunting and, you know.
Of course. So here they are delivering a rifle and making a few jabs at each other. Isaiah sounds like he's already two sheets to the wind, but...
Right?
Morning, Charles. Isaiah.
Morning, Jim.
Don't you know you ain't supposed to call Santa's helpers by their first name?
Then the rifle came, huh?
Sure did. Boy's not around, is he?
No, little Joey left early with his ma for that soiree the ladies' leagues are holding.
He ought to get himself a rabbit with that.
He ain't no son of Jim Bowers if he can't.
I don't remember you taking home nothing from the turkey shoot.
Well, my windage was off. Besides, I don't recall you taking home any prizes.
Well, like you say, the wind was blowing kind of hard.
It's blowing pretty good now. Merry Christmas, Jim.
Merry Christmas to you, and many thanks.
I'm going to finish watering my lawn.
Right?
The wind's blowing in their hair, but like the dirt and everything is all perfectly still. I mean,
exactly.
It's very silly for them to try to pull this off. Looks like the dead of summer.
Right. Well, but they're thinking kids are watching it, and you know that you mentioned that. I was thinking about the last podcast that we recorded, the Christmas on Plum Creek, and I remember you talking about how fake the house looked in that one shot, and so it got me to thinking, you know, most people, because this show is so seamless, we don't really stop and think that... Simi Valley, that town was built, but of course, you know, as well as I do, all of those were just sets and were hollow. Anytime you see an interior of the little house, of the mercantile, it was shot on a sound stage.
Sure, sure.
And so I'm wondering if some of those shots, maybe they did rebuild the little house on the sound stage, and maybe some of those shots, that's why they looked so fake. Because they actually had, I don't know this to be fact, But my frustrated director, producer, actor side of me thought maybe they built a replica of the little house on a soundstage. And that's why some of those, as a matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I know they did, because the Christmas They Never Forgot, that final scene where Charles is, the house is under snow.
So stupid.
That was on a soundstage, because I've seen pictures of all the cameras surrounding it and it actually being on a stage and not out there in Simi Valley.
Yeah, that's so, like, one of the single worst scenes that I've ever seen in my whole life.
Oh, it's just so bad. Yeah. So bad. You can completely tell it's on a soundstage. So maybe, you know, some of the stuff in here, I think the scenes of Laura and Mary and Carrie, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, walking through the blizzard. I remember seeing photographs of that, and very obviously it was shot on a soundstage. So,
you know, they don't seem to have much of a lack of fake snow later in the episode. Use some of it here to cover up the green, you know,
exactly
thing. Make it look like it's, you know, late December.
Exactly. Although, you know, here in Texas, as weird as it looks for you because you're in New York, that happens here all the time. When we just had our ice and snow, we got pine trees here green. So it is bizarre, but it's rare that things are not green here in Houston. Even when we just had our little ice and sugar snow storm, it was still snow on top of green stuff.
Yeah, but that's Texas, though.
That's Texas. That's not Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd expect that in, like, Florida as well, you know.
Right. Or Hawaii. Or wire.
Hawaii. I don't count that as a state, actually. It's not connected, so.
Anyway, so this little stinker wants a gun.
Yeah, Joey wants a gun. He's getting one, you know, and Joey's going to need that gun.
And what is with Joey's mother? She looks like she's 75 years old. Every time I see this episode, I'm just like, what?
Yeah, Joey's probably, what, 12 or something. Like, she probably had him when she was, like, in her mid-40s, late 40s.
Yeah, because she's looking a little old.
Yeah, yeah.
Gray
she,
hair.
She looks and... more like Nana than she does, you know. but here we are. Here's the other sad sack couple who are destined to be, for something terrible to happen to.
Yeah.
Lottie, I swear. Now, I think you would work right through the calling of Gabriel's horn. Now, all the other ladies are already gathering over at the Olsons.
What does that mean, even? It's Gabriel's horn.
Well, it's scriptural, so Gabriel's horn blowing, I guess, for the second coming or something. I do not know.
That's something, I don't know. That's deep scripture.
Yeah.
I just have this one batch of figures to go over. There's $17 I just can't account for.
$17? That's like $1 million.
But that's, well, I guess in the, you know, again, of course, because we learn a little bit later on that he bought her a sewing machine, and I was pricing sewing machines, and they were saying 1800s over like $125. So,
well, I think they're pretty well off. He's got a really nice hat. He's dressed nicely.
Yes.
Where she is, like, it's all like nice.
Except for those big slats in their barn. Did you notice?
But it's all like nice slats. Like, it's all. Yeah, it's kind of strange.
I was just like, how come the papers on her desk aren't blowing when she's got slats about 2 inches wide?
A lot of that happens.
I know. I'm just picking this episode apart.
If it's missing, you still got till New Year's to find it.
Now, if you'll let go, it'll only take me a minute to find it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Christmas is a time for hugging, not for bookwork.
Oh, Lottie.
Oh, I think they're so precious. They're just so romantic and cute. I like them.
I don't know. I find them...
Not for long, but...
Also, her dress looks very expensive.
Yeah. Well, and they have a business there in Walnut Grove. It's like, hello, we've never been there. We have no idea what they're selling. But they look like they're doing pretty well, better than the Olsons.
But, you know, the spacing in on her dress, the buttons are all, like, inconsistent. This is one of those times where...
Oh, man, I thought I was picking this apart. Dude, you're looking at buttons. Wow.
No, well, some stuff, you know, it's really bad, actually. And it looks like the neck... like the doily piece looks like it's like might be just stapled on or hot glued on.
Wow, you're going real deep on this one. Okay,
I didn't like her as a character. I don't know why. There was something didn't work too well. Now, another thing that was a pleasant surprise is that we get nice Harriet. We get the nice version of nicer.
Well, version. Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a little snarky underneath all that fake sweetness.
Now, we do have here blizzard warning, heavy snow, winds 30 to 40, moving south, southeast. And you wanted to say something about blizzard warning. Or rather, the
yes!
Blizzard.
Blizzard warning. Those of you that listen to the podcast know that I love to research this, and really not to put the show down, but it's just interesting to me just to dig up all this stuff. So, the word blizzard was actually first used by the U.S. Army Signal Corps, was not used until 1870. And so if we are using the 100-year rule with this episode, that means this should have been 1876. Hold on.
No, you said they didn't use it until 1880, was it? Or?
Yes. 18, that's right. I was looking at the wrong date. Yes, INDB says that the word blizzard was not used by the U.S. Army Signal Corps until 1881.
But I wonder if it was used in slang. Like, I wonder if it was still casually used, but it wasn't officially used until... You know,
well, I found in researching blizzard, at least one place on the internet, it said the word blizzard is derived from a boxing term meaning volley of punches.
Oh.
If that means anything.
I thought it was from a Dairy Queen drink.
Turn it upside down. It's a blizzard. That's what we have here in Texas. Do y'all have Dairy Queen in New York?
I would think blizzard would come from blitz, you know, like Blitzkrieg or something, like a German term. But
yeah, you know. I don't know. I thought Dairy Queen was specifically Texas. I didn't think they had them anyplace. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah,
Blizzard. But yeah, that's what it says. So, 1880, 1881, that the official Army Signal Corps did not use the term blizzard. So yeah.
I just want to bring it to... the ladies are doing some type of soiree, some type of something, where they're painting eggs.
Thank you. I just about fell out of my chair when you said I thought the same thing. It's Christmas. Why are we painting eggs?
Christmas eggs are a thing. You would decorate
eggs.
Are
they really?
Yeah,
it is
a thing, or was a thing. But I don't know about the way they were doing it. But here's the scene, regardless.
Ah, Christmas, my favorite season. I'm so glad that I suggested to the Reverend Alden.
The clock in the background, by the way, mentions that it's about 7 minutes after one at this point.
Alrighty.
We have a town Christmas party this year.
I thought Reverend Alden said that Betty suggested it.
Oh, well, perhaps she did. But I did intend to suggest it.
The children are going to love it. I can't wait until school is over so we can get into the church and start decorating.
Presents in the morning and a party in the afternoon. It's going to be like having Christmas twice. Of course, my main problem is going to be to keep Isaiah out of the presents tonight. Oh, Carol.
Might want to keep him out of the bottle tonight.
Right? Right? I know, and Carolyn just gave Harriet a real zinger there. I thought that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, what's your problem?
But I, the reason I love this scene is because I remembered what you were saying when we did Christmas on Plum Creek about no Reverend Alden. And so Christmas on Plum Creek was season one. Mm-hmm. This is season three. There was no Christmas episode, I guess, in season two. And so it's like, well, maybe Reverend Alden really did come every other year. So the year that Reverend Alden came, supposedly, in season two, there was no episode for
which is
it.
Weird because, spoiler alert, people die in this episode. And usually Reverend Alden's around when people are dying.
Oh, gosh, that reminds me. Have you ever seen that funny video about the Little House bloopers where they're doing that one scene and Doc Baker and Reverend Alden step out in the hallway and Kevin Hagen is messing with it, Dabs Greer, and says, I thought you killed another one.
It's great.
Yeah, I love those Little House blooper reels. They're really funny.
But, you know, with Caroline, it's like she has to be like, Miss Thing, I have to be poking fun at Harriet.
Right. Because she really is trying, hard to be nice, even though she says, oh, that'll be so quaint. I don't think she meant it being ugly. So that was kind of a reversal of personality there for a minute with Carolyn. Just like, fine, there you go again, lying. You're speaking your crap.
Exactly.
Caroline, isn't your husband going to deliver the sermon in the absence of Reverend Alden?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure that will be very quaint. I am shocked, however, that Reverend Alden decided not to spend Christmas service here.
Well, after all, he was with us last year, and he does have two congregations to care for.
Well, I know, my dear, but after all, we do contribute more money than Sleepy Eye.
It is better to give than to receive.
Ah, nonsense.
Nonsense.
Oh. Harriet's nicest.
Oh, my, it's trying to snow.
It's trying to snow.
It's trying to, but how could Walnut Grove give more money than Sleepy Eye? Sleepy Eye is a bustling little community. That's what always struck me strange about that. Wait a minute, why do you mean y'all give more than, unless it's Harriet giving it out of her pocket?
I'm going to say maybe the congregation itself is larger.
Well, maybe so, either that or, Sleepy Eye is a big community, so it's a big old city full of sinners and they don't go to church or something.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So, what are we up to here? It's starting to snow. Everyone's like, oh, look, it's snowing. It's wonderful. And we're back at the school, when a teacher wants the kids to love her, what does she do? She lets them leave early, right?
Right. But we already love Miss Beadle. And I love that scene because it reminds me of when I was in elementary school and we always did such great things at Christmas with we always come home with glue and glitter in our hair and all that stuff. So it's just, and Willie eating the paste.
Which I'm thinking that the paste was pretty much just flour and water.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they were like, putting mucilage or anything like that in it, from horses.
No, I don't think so. We always talk about how Willie ate everything. I forgot about his eating the paste.
Exactly.
Or a child will eat anything.
But Willie.
More castor oil.
Willie has a very sweet scene later with Miss Beadle.
Oh,
I felt like it was very nice.
It's precious. But, yes, it's precious.
But here we go. Here's the first part of the death sentence.
Sticks too.
Oh, I'm sure she'll love it.
It's snowing.
Oh. Nobody's noticing that Willie's supposed to be in the corner, by the way. and he walks over to the window.
And my question is, why are kids in Minnesota that get snow every year freaking out because it's snowing?
Because it's Christmas. It's a white Christmas.
I guess.
First snow of the season. It's, I think it makes all of us think, wow, it's, you feel like, when was the last time you saw snow?
Well, I mean, here in Houston, we all do run to the window because it's like once every 15 years. So it's just like, oh, my God.
But New York, we're like that, it's even though
we
it's
We have
inevitable.
The best of both worlds because it doesn't stick. We don't have to shovel, sidewalks. We just get to watch it pretty fall down and then go away.
That's good.
Maybe we can make a snowman.
I'll hit you with a snowball.
Well, I don't think there's going to be enough snow for that, Laura. But there might be enough to give me an excuse to let you all go home early today.
Yay!
But not until you finish the presents for your folks. Now everybody get back to your desks.
Look out the window. I mean, the sky is black.
There's not going to be enough snow, though, to make a snowman. an igloo, yes.
But even the comment, I'm going to throw a snowball at you, like you've never heard of a snowball or something. It's very strange.
Right? Mm-hmm. It is. Maybe the writer of this, maybe Mr. Cooper was from Arizona or something.
Yeah, like a snowball. You know,
I don't know, but he did have a brilliant mentor. His mentor was Earl Hamner, the Waltons, and so he did have a brilliant mentor.
But I think they were trying Earl Hamner. They definitely laid it on a little bit thick, all of this.
Yes, they did.
So what do we have after the, the kids, I mean, for the most part, I'm going to say 90% of the rest of the episode is wind. You know, it's basically this. You know, cut to commercial.
I was going to say, and that wraps it up. And Mark, this has been especially amazing.
It's like we're live on location. And it's even worse because you can't understand what they're saying when they're not yelling.
Right.
Oh, no, it's just
Carrie's not the only one we can't understand this.
None of them. But essentially,
they're all doing imitations of Carrie.
Each child gets lost all on their own.
Yes.
They
do.
The women decide, let's go over to the school and start decorating, surprise the kids. We're probably going to be stuck in the school. And
they get a surprise when they walk in the door.
Seeing a storm blow up this quickly.
Oh, Mom, it's so cold!
We would have had trouble finding the church.
Is this ridiculous?
Miss Beetle. Where are the children?
And if you look outside the window, you know what? It doesn't look black outside. That's the tree banging up against the window.
That's what
that is. But it looks like the whole building's in a car wash. If you look out there.
Right.
It's kind of funny. But
I sent them home early.
All but Nellie and me. We had to stay and wash the blackboards.
Steven, you kept those two? You know?
Right.
When did they leave?
Now, I want to point out something here. A lot of people might not realize this. Like, right now, Caroline is looking at Miss Beetle with daggers. Because, what was this, January 3rd?
This was Christmas Eve.
I believe it was in the middle of October, October 18th, which is just, 2 months prior to this airing, was Little Girl Lost.
Oh.
A mere 7 episodes ago. When it's like, are you trying to kill my children? like every opportunity you get, you're trying to kill my children.
Exactly. Well, you remember what Charlotte said in y'all's, interview, that this was one of the episodes that Michael Landon referred to as Miss Beetle kills the kids yet again.
But I do not remember. I remember them being a little bit more brutal to her. But I must be thinking of the other episode. But
yeah, you must be. But really, Carolyn was the main one in Little Girl Lost that was just like, it was your fault.
Yeah,
she didn't want to face the fact that she was the one that gave the permission, so she had to blame somebody.
Right.
Quite a while ago, they finished their work. They were so excited about Christmas.
It's 91 degrees.
There were only flurries when they left. I'm sure most of them had time to get home.
My Henry couldn't have gotten home. Not in this weather.
Nor my Joey.
Enough about Joey.
Oh, Beetle, I hope you want some company. You're going to be running a hotel tonight.
All right, for one, these two drunks basically walk into a classroom that's supposed to be full of children, right? Learning. It's screaming their heads off like two idiots.
There's a joke in that somewhere. These two drunks walk into a classroom.
And it's like, and it's like, I don't know. The whole thing is just very silly.
Where are the children?
All of the children.
Mrs.
All but Nellie and Willie left early.
Will you be there out in this?
How early did they leave?
About a half an hour ago.
I've organized all the men in town. Some
that
of the fathers
must
be out
like
for the children.
An hour ago.
You women stay here. The way this storm's building up, we'll be looking for you in an hour.
He's right.
Hey, that's pretty sexist.
Mr. Edwards, you'll need warmer clothing. Nils has some in the storeroom.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Olson.
Get those other shutters!
You know, they're thinking like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
Gotta go dig a hole or something. Mineshaft it. Jeez.
These darn Ingalls kids, they just can't quit getting themselves in trouble.
If it's not chasing butterflies, it's Christmas.
Right.
Jeez. So, I mean, in all seriousness, if you don't even watch most of the rest of the episode, you really miss nothing. Because you really can't understand what's going on half the time.
It's like the kids are trying to get home and each one of them are struggling a little bit. But, you know, it did make me think about, it was a tradition with me. I haven't done it in years and years, but every winter when it would get what we call cold here in Houston, I would always pull out the long winter book, the Laura Ingalls book. And so it made me think about, you know, because some people think, oh, come on, you know, blah, blah. And researching blizzards. Worst blizzard in Minnesota history was 1866, 20-foot drifts. And I'm sure y'all have seen that, you know, in New York, too. So I just remembered in the long winter with her writing about how they had a few days of comfort because the snow was so bad that it literally covered the entire house. It was so deep that it covered, they had to dig a tunnel from the house to get to the barn. But because that wind... the snow totally covered the house. It cut off the wind, and they were actually warm in the house. It worked like insulation.
Yeah, it's like an igloo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the song that is lent to the show from that band Project Brundlefly, yes. My friend Jerry.
Albert?
Yeah. my friend Jerry, who wrote that song, he... I've probably mentioned this before. He lives in Norway, and he does a lot of mountain climbing and glacier climbing. And him and his sons went somewhere, some strange umlaut type of town, on a hike. And they got to their cabin, and all you could see was the crest of the roof and the fireplace. They had to dig down about a good 8 feet. You know, it's amazing. You know, it's a really... You know, you're exhausted just getting there, and it's like, oh, well, now you get to dig. And although I didn't ask him the insulation, you can imagine that once you get in there and light a fire, it's got to be pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. And whether you're on the side of believing in global warming or not, something's cuckoo. Because, you know, back in the day, people, oh, rich people, oh, well, we, you know, we live in New York, but we spend the summers in Florida or whatever. And you don't seem to be able to do that too much anymore. The weather is so unpredictable. Places that always traditionally used to be hot now get crazy freezing temperatures and vice versa. It's just, something's going on. I don't know what it is, but, you know, it's not weather that you used to kind of be able to rely on.
I just think that weather is an unpredictable thing. It's always been unpredictable.
Yes.
And I just don't think we're... meant to understand it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they're guessing. We always make fun of the weather, the newscasters, you know, and the local news stuff. Oh, they're, you know, they're guessing. They said it was going to be 80 and it didn't get to 60 or whatever. So it's got a questioning.
I always liken the Earth as a dog and us being the fleas. And the dog could just shake us off. And because the Earth is fine. You know, the Earth is in no rush to rebuild every single resource that we've depleted.
There you go.
So anyway, let's see, where are we? Let's get to Grace and they're talking about frostbite and they're rubbing feet. And, you know, they're trying to prevent. This is what I was wondering. Do you know anything about treatment for frostbite?
Yeah, I was kind of looking that up a little bit, too. And it was saying that the treatment now is not too terribly different from the treatment back then. I mean, basically, your blood and the water underneath your skin crystallizes. And so if you... it just sounds just like, ugh. I was talking to my girlfriend Gina actually this afternoon, and just like less than 5 years ago, they had a whole family that went out to get pizza in Minnesota. That's where her in-laws are from, and they never made it back. They all froze to death in their car.
What?
This was just like 5 years ago. And so, yeah, frostbite, I mean, it just...
that sounds to me that doesn't sound like frostbite. That sounds like hypothermia.
Well, yes, in that case, yes. But yeah, you're supposed to bring the temperature of the skin back gradually. I'm not really sure why, but that's just kind of been one of those things that everybody of knows.
I wonder if the blood freezes and then it's fully cut off, you know?
Well, yeah, maybe so. Because I know that some of the first, even on episodes like of the Waltons and stuff, if somebody got frostbit, they'd start to try to bring their temperature back by rubbing snow on their, you know, body, and then gradually get to a little bit warmer and a little bit warmer. So it's not like, oh, go stand in front of the fireplace or go jump in a hot bathtub. Apparently, yeah, That's not a good idea. It'll kill the flesh or something.
I've heard that if you just grab a bottle of brandy and drink it, it'll... Actually, that probably would work a bit because alcohol... what does it do? What is it called? It lightens your blood. You know, it's
right.
And if you do have alcohol in your blood, maybe it does work as a bit of an antifreeze.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
Here we go.
Children will be here any minute. He spent his whole life in the mountains, where this is just another little snowfall for him. You wait and see. He'll be here. He will be.
The bottle might not be here, but he'll be
right.
Here. That bottle will be empty.
Exactly.
Just as soon as he can.
No! Oh, God! No!
Alicia!
This is pretty much the rest of the episode. So Mary and Laura find this little shack next to a burned out cabin. And
yes.
Mary being a very resourceful person, had matches.
That was with Ma's Christmas candle that she made for her mom.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think about it. Yeah, and she lit the candle. Yep. Smart to light the candle. And then she ripped up her notepad, where she probably got like a bad test grade.
That's right.
like this is a lot to go through, but at least I don't have to show them this.
That's right. No, that was Laura's notepad, because Mary always had great grades. Let's burn your F's. I never get F's.
Exactly. you open it up, it's just drawings of penises. No.
it's like little porn on the prairie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So where are we the next day? It looks like a soundstage. They've all...
Yes.
There's, like, some spotlights on. It's kind of funny.
Yep. It's the interior of a school, so we know that it is a soundstage.
Yeah. And there's music. It's the rebirth music. Hobo, and he just looked so uncomfortable. It's not funny.
It's over.
The storm's over. Everybody up. Come on, move. Edwards and his family are still out there.
Is that you beeping?
Yes, I was beeping. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
It's all right. I just didn't know where it was coming from.
Anybody home in there? Well, what are y'all doing?
Sounds like the guy from Sling Blade.
<You're> right?
I said it!
Now, of course, this is bittersweet because we did lose one person, right? Am I wrong here? Like, one person.
Yes, died. We lost. Yeah, we lost.
But everyone's Mr. cheering. McGinnis, I think. Everybody's jumping up and down, including Miss Beetle, who could have basically prevented this whole thing if she waited 30 minutes.
Right.
You know, like, if she didn't bring it up, nobody else would have. So, she has blood on her hands.
Sure, she does. Murderous.
Well, are you trying to go off?
No, I gotta be the luckiest man to ever drew a breath. How many men you know got a son to give an Eskimo lessons in how to build a snow house?
Oh, thank God you're all right.
Of course we're all right. Of course, kids here are gonna have a bit of a hangover. Oh, I'm glad the Reverend ain't here. I'd get myself a sermon for sure.
You know, and again, we watch this more and more, and there's more drinking and less in the prairie than I remember from when I was a kid.
Right.
I thought it was a pretty dry show, but it's really not. I'm going to say there may be more drinking in this show than in the average TV show.
Yeah. Well, probably so. Dialing all the way back to when Mr. Edwards first started trying to court Grace, and he had that big jug. And everybody thought it was booze. Of course, it just turned out to be water, but still.
So, of course, Charles is going to give a sermon, which I think is appropriate. It's very sweet. And because he's seeing, you know, not everyone got, you know, not everyone came back, you know. And Claire,
exactly.
And Charles actually found the body prior to this.
Right.
And, you know, it's just one of those things. It's pretty sad, but here it is.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
So, of course, a very gloomy ending.
And very, very gloomy.
Very gloomy, right? So why would they end it like this? Keep listening. Like all these minor chords.
Yes. Merry Christmas, everybody.
On this. All right. It's not so bad. It's like happy-go-lucky music. And he died.
All right. Mr. McGinnis is dead. They-
Even the even like the very last note. It's like a big F you.
I know, man. That last note, man. That's like a spike going through your head. That very.
It's like oh, you know all those emotions you just felt. You could say goodbye to those in about 3 seconds.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, and Michael Landon was reading from the Book of Luke, which is the same book, if you've ever watched a Charlie Brown Christmas 10 million times like I have. That's what Linus reads from when he goes out on a little stage and says, "Lights, please." And so that's what book in the Bible that's from, the Bible Part 2. It's from Luke.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I'm just saying. Hey, you're the one that called it the Bible Part 2. So.
Sequels are usually not as good, though.
You know? The sequel, yeah, I know it.
It's Godfather Part 2 is pretty good.
Yes, that one won, I think, the Academy Award for Best Picture as well, if I'm not mistaken. So, my Oscar history. But, yeah, this is a very bizarre episode. It's Christmas, but it's not really Christmas. It's just fought with tragedy and people struggling for their lives and fake snow and sound.
This could have been a Valentine's Day episode.
Right?
If they just put hearts in it instead of a Christmas tree. So.
Well, exactly. Let's and when did the whole town ever get together for a Christmas party? I mean, I know they covered the whole thing with Harriet not making the suggestion, but it was even kind of strange in that storytelling to me about, oh, the whole town's getting together for a little Christmas. I mean, not really strange because it's a little house and it's a small town, but it was just very, very different.
Right. Like, when did it ever work?
Yeah. And I mean, I just try to imagine the writer go, well, I got this great story for Christmas. People die and then blizzard and the kids are all lives are all put at risk. But it's a Christmas.
Sounds like a real downer. Oh, but wait until you get to the very end, the closing credits, it's really going to make you feel like it's spring. Yeah. I don't think they had a lot. I think they were just trying to get an episode in.
Well, maybe so. I mean, it was decent. It was decent storytelling and everything, but yeah.
It was all right. But
it was okay.
All right, as always, Susan, thank you very much for getting together for this episode.
As always, you're welcome. Welcome.
And yeah, I look forward to the next one.
Absolutely, bring on 2018 and Walnut Grove Cast. Yay! All
right. All right. So I'll catch you next time.
We'll be right back. Celsius.